This program is a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and is brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guests, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.
97 Gold presents Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Now, here's Faye Bagby on 97 Gold.
Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you doing?
Well, I'm wonderful because I'm not where the hot weather is.
My goodness. I have never seen so hot so early in the year, and it seems like this summer it got hotter faster earlier than it has the last couple. It seems like it gets hotter. It gets a little worse each year.
I think it does, too, and it's not because we're getting older. It's because the sun is beating down on us as hard as it can.
Yeah, yeah.
And I wonder, why is Midland, Texas having 110-degree weather in May? This is May. It's not August.
I know it. I know it. And through it, the rest of the weekend, it might actually be 110. I've seen a couple places, you know, right at 110, and it scares me because I wonder if sometimes they're being a little conservative on the temperature, try not to scare people. But I think that 110, I mean, that's frightening. That's dangerous, especially on a weekend like this where people are out, you know, wanting to have some fun. You know, they're outside, they're barbecuing, they're grilling out, and they got people over, and they're, you know, having, you know, people are having a lot of drinks, and you know, this kind of heat and alcohol don't always match. People need to...
It does not mix at all.
Need to stay hydrated.
And they need sunscreen on from 6 a.m.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I mean, those little kids, every one of them needs sunscreen applied all day long.
Yes.
And adults do, too. Adults forget that skin cancer does not show up right away. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that.
It will not show up for 20 years.
Really?
And then you may have one that's deadly. Several years ago, I think 4 years ago, I just kept having this little place on my nose. And I went in to a specialist. He looked at it and he said, "That's skin cancer." I go, no, I'm not out in the sun all the time. He said, "If you did it in the past, it's coming in to get you," you know. And people need to know that. Wear a hat of some kind and use sunscreen.
Wow.
And I've met several people that say, "Well, where could it have come from? It's on my face." And this is where it comes from. It's what you did in the past. It takes a while for those to appear. They don't just appear overnight. And it appears because when you were younger, you were not using sunscreen on that face.
Mm-hmm.
And men who play golf should have lots and lots of sunscreen on. Oil field workers are out all day, and they should have sunscreen on.
Yeah.
It's really important, especially with 110.
I would soak
my head, my neck, and I recommend ice down lots of water early in the morning and keep it in your pickup. If your pickup should have trouble, you pour all that water on your head.
Yeah.
And that'll save you right there.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you've got pets that you may have outside that you need to, you know, take inside or cool down or something. And then you've got, you know, people, they'll run into a place and leave somebody or an animal or a child or somebody in a car. Well, they'll just run in and grab something real quick. And all these things that we just normally do on a regular basis, we need to really think about everything that we do because it can be very dangerous.
It could be. And every person that's got a little kid that's, you know, 2.5, 3 and up, they should know how to unlock the door and never leave all the windows up. I don't care if it's for 1 second. You have that window partially down to save your child. You know, all over the country, every summer we lose all these children that are being left in the car, and I guess some idiot turned the car motor off thinking that'd make them safe, but it's also going to get them killed.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that hot heat, it doesn't take very long. And they say the temperature of a child, there's so little, their temperature goes up so fast that, you know, you think of 10 minutes isn't going to hurt, it will hurt. And you could be killing your child. So protect everybody. Midland, Texas is a hot, hot place. Never leave your children in a car, even the puppies.
Yeah.
A puppy, remember, they don't have sweat glands like you and I.
They don't. That's why they pant.
That's why they pant. And so they get hot real quick, and that's the only way they can do it is by panting. And they're like a child. They won't live long if you don't protect them and take them with you.
Yeah, so hopefully people will take all this heat into consideration, and hopefully we'll have a safe Memorial Day weekend this weekend for everybody.
Let's have a safe Memorial weekend. Let's be careful on the highway. You know, I never go out of town on Memorial Day weekend because of the traffic and how bad it gets.
Oh, yeah.
And besides, we're supposed to be staying home and doing all the memorial parades, the flyovers with our Air Force, the Blue Angels, I mean, the Thunderbirds. Just think of all the things that we're supposed to be doing in memory of our fallen loved ones who have protected our country all the years and who died and sacrificed everything. You know, that's the ultimate sacrifice.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes when we get to July 4th, it's a big party, and then we get to, you know, other holidays, and it's also a big party. This is the one where we try to remember and honor those who have served, who have given the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom, and also their families, because a lot of times people forget about the families and how much they sacrifice, not only when somebody is actively serving, but if they are killed in action, you know, the sacrifice that they go to at that point as well. So it really is the ultimate sacrifice on every level.
It really is. And our country is safe because of our military.
Yeah.
And I'm talking now about whether the ones that have went on before us and who gave up everything and their parents gave up everything, or the ones we have now that have come back from Afghanistan and all these places, and they're maimed for life.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, you know... I've been seeing on television this week a lot of our soldiers, you know, who came back and are permanently without limbs, and you know, they and they're still smiling. This one lady said, "My husband would go back tomorrow." Now that's our military.
Yeah, very very brave men and women.
They are very very brave, braver than us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we just appreciate what they've done and try to show it. But they actually did it. I mean, they don't have to talk about it because they can do it.
Yeah, they deserve all the respect. Yeah.
Yeah, and when I see the planes flying, I'm always so impressed.
Yeah, it really is. It gives you goosebumps.
It does, because it shows you how brilliant they really are.
Yeah.
And look how long it took them to learn to do all the things they really do.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, it's not like, you know, going to drive a car. I mean, those planes that they fly, man, those are like billions of dollars for each machine. And my goodness, they do so much, and they're so complicated. It really takes somebody with some reflexes and a really, really high level of intellect to operate those things. So.
And nerves of steel.
And nerves of steel, exactly. Yeah.
Because... you have to think about it. You know, I mean, they do it every day, and they know the risk.
Yeah.
And most of you and I, if somebody said, this is a risky situation, we'd back up, turn around, walk off, and not do it. Yeah. And they go toward danger and face it head on and are proud of what they're doing.
Yeah. It really does take a special kind of person to be able to do what they do. So we thank them, both the ones that are serving now and the ones who have gone before us. And so happy Memorial Day. From all
That's
of us.
Right.
And thank you very much. So this is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So the whole point of this conversation is so that people can really understand what it takes to have enough money to go ahead and retire. And I think that's where a lot of people get confused. I was talking to a few people earlier this week, and they were talking about how, you know, they think they've got enough. They're pretty sure, you know, they've kind of added up some bills of the last couple of years, and you know, they've tried to get a handle on it, but people don't really understand. For one, you need to have most of your items paid off. You need to have your house paid off. You need to have your vehicles paid off. You don't want to have debt when you go into retirement, right?
No way. Let me tell you something. If you're heavily in debt, you can't retire.
Yeah.
It's just not the time for you. I've had people come in my office, and husband and wife sit there and have kind of a strong conversation with each other about all this. And some of them have said, well, you know, several years ago we went broke. So now we don't have everything paid off. Now we're working toward it. And then I've had people come in and say, yes, we went broke in the stock market several years ago, and ever since then we've been double cautious. We've been paying things off as fast as we can. So it was a tough lesson for some of them, but they learned one thing, that they had to get their house in order or they wouldn't have any retirement money.
Yeah, and you don't want to get to retirement and then all of a sudden realize, if you think you're going to retire, as I hear a lot of people say, I'm going to retire at 65, and then they get close, and they're within 5 years, they're within 4 years, and they're within 3 years, and they think that they're okay, and then all of a sudden they realize, oh my goodness, we should have really started planning this 10, 15 years earlier, because now we can't retire. We're in worse shape than we thought. We expected to get a raise. It didn't happen. We expected to you know, send in extra payments on the car or the truck. It didn't happen. We expected to make extra payments on the house to have it paid off. It didn't happen. And these surprises happen, and I hear it time and time again. People say these types of things, and they're not ready. And so all of these things are, for the most part, preventable. It just takes some planning and some discipline, right?
It does take a lot of discipline. You have to discipline yourself as to what you're going to be extravagant on and what you're not. And, of course, my people are all very conservative. And I, like I said, a lot of them learned that the hard way. But then they became conservatives. And once they did, they got on the right track.
Yeah.
And now a lot of them are returning early, like 58, 59, and that's pretty young to be retiring. But at least if you retire, if you've got your house in order and you can retire that young, you will have more fun because you've got a few more years doing things while you're young enough, you know, to really enjoy them.
So what do you say to somebody, you know, like you say, who maybe has been in the stock market, they've been a little bit risky with their investments, they may have made a lot of money, they may have lost a little bit, they may have made a little bit more, but then all of a sudden, you know, they feel like they want to get a little bit conservative, but what do you say to somebody who says, well, geez, when you get conservative, you don't make as much money? What do you say to somebody like that?
But you make conservative money. Mm-hmm. In other words, you're not going to have to stay awake at midnight to see if you've still got it.
Yeah.
So even though it doesn't make as much money, what you make is real, and it's hard money, and it won't be taken from you. Like if you're 60 years old, let's say, and you're still in the stock market, you can still lose a large portion of your money before you retire. And that doesn't sound good to me. I'd rather be liking what we're doing. I have faith in it because I know the life insurance company will pay off, okay? I know it's a hard fact. They are going to pay you. And I know that even if the policy goes over, you will get paid 100%. So, you know, that's what we're counting. And we're counting on the life insurance company, which is huge, to pay you. We're counting on the bank to put it in your account. And we're counting on it to be at least on time, and even if it goes over, you know, not to be, but maybe a year or even 2 years over. Now, we've got some that have gone over farther, but that's when we signed up with all those dadgum people that talked us into those four policies or six, and they, you know, they're elderly people. And we were told, oh, these elderly people will come due. So you have to be conservative about that, too. You have to say, we draw the line. We love our elderly, but we're not going to buy their policies. I think they walk 2 miles every day.
They're healthier, you know, than you and I combined.
Yeah, I mean, we couldn't walk 2 miles.
Oh.
So you know, when I look at a policy, I look to see if they're obese. I look to see, when they tell me it's stage four, I want to be sure it's stage four. I looked at some policies yesterday, turned them all down. One said they were in remission. Well, we can't buy a policy in remission. We want one that we know that there's a deadline on it. There's no deadline when you're in remission. Mm-hmm. It could come back a year from now, 2 years, or tomorrow. But we don't know a certainty of that. We want a policy that's got a definite time on it that says, you know, they've, from today's date or last month's date, they've got 18 months. And that was what we're going to rely on. And then there was some that said, this is stage two. Well, you're not fixing to pass away if it's stage two. You know what I mean? You've got a lot of time. And if it's stage four, they don't have the time. So, you know, we're very conservative about this. We want every one of these policies to come in as early as possible to help our clients. We've already helped the other people that sold their policy. And right now we've got people, you know, wanting us to buy their policies, and they have every kind of cancer in the world. So, like you said, conservative works both ways, on our part and the client's part.
Now, when somebody is investing in a life settlement like this, people should know, no, it is not realistic to think, oh my gosh, you know, it's going to be like, you know, another type of investment, Wall Street, say, where I can invest a chunk of money into this, and then within 3 weeks, it will double and triple, and then I can make all this money overnight. If that's the plan, this is not the investment for that person. Is that right?
No, absolutely not. It's not a get-rich-quick scheme. It may not happen for a year, 2 years. We have some that are 12 months. But as I said, you know, it is a matter of which ones are going to come due first. And whatever it is, if it's 12 months, you're going to get about 12%. If it's 24 months, you're going to make about 24%. And we've had a lot of them this last year. And, in fact, the last quarter that came due early. It's because we're buying the policies and studying them so hard to try to get it right. When the doctors say 12 months, we're figuring it might be a little bit little than that, but we're going to take their word for it, and we're going with 12 months. And then when they come in 6 months, you know, we're gratified and we're glad. Mm-hmm. And so it's not an exact science, but like you said, it's not something that you're going to become rich tomorrow, let me tell you. You're going to make good money, and it'll go on long after you retire. You can keep doing this as long as you live, in fact. And, so, you know.
This is really part of a plan, and this is the thing we stress all the time, is that you have to get started with this, and so it can be done. I mean, if you need to, I know everybody's situation is different, so it's hard to come up with just a basic generic scenario, but you know, if somebody wants to retire in 10 years, you can put them on a plan, basically, that will get them to where they need to be to get to that retirement stage, but then they also have to keep making money. They have to keep growing their earnings after they retire so that they don't have to just bleed out their account and then, you know, go back to work. And when they run out in 5 years, that's it. That's the end of the road. This is really a long-term plan. This is to get to the retirement stage and then to continue after retirement. But the key word here is the plan. And so, you know, if somebody's looking to get rich overnight, you know, in the stock market, that's great. If your plan for retirement is winning the lottery tomorrow, that's great. It's probably not going to happen, but good luck with that.
Not in Texas, I don't think.
But most people need to plan. So if the lottery winnings is your deal, you need to come up with a plan B. And most people want to get a little bit more conservative as they get closer to retirement. But it doesn't have to be that way. This is something that somebody can start when they're in college or when they're just entering the workforce or even as far as, what, 50s maybe, mid-50s?
Yes. And, you know, anybody that's, like you say, in their 50s or 60s, starting to be 60, you need to make sure you've got this plan working because lots of these companies are selling out right now out here. You know, they're selling to companies from New York or Chicago or wherever, the service companies or the oil companies. And when they decide to sell out, they don't want your 401k. They tell you, take your 401k and we don't need you anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got new management, got new company, and you won't be needed. And a lot of these people come to me and say, what do I do now? And we say, let's see what you've got. Let's see if you're going to have a job. Probably not for 90 days. So then we say, you know, you need to put this much with us, and you need to keep this much in cash for emergencies, and you need to march right on because you've got to keep going on this plan for retirement where that you'll have interest income every year. If people don't plan on interest, what do they think is going to happen when they use up what they've got?
You know, that's a good question. I think a lot of people don't always think it all the way through. They don't get to that point.
Well, you need to always go all the way and say, okay, what is the scenario that I'll be living under? You know, I've got this much money. I've got $500,000. Well, you know, that used to sound like a lot of money, didn't it?
Uh-huh.
But $500,000 is not anything anymore.
Uh-huh.
So if you don't have $2 million, $3 million, or $4 million, you need a lot more interest than you've got.
So people really need to play it out. They need to run the numbers long term, and if the number starts to go down, you need to probably assess the situation. And I know a lot of people, you know, already think they're in good shape. They've been planning, they've been saving, they've been growing their money, they've got a nice nest egg, they're in decent shape for retirement. But sometimes there could be that hidden expense in there that you may not be counting on. There may be an emergency, there may be, you know, something that you didn't take into account. So how far prior to someone's retirement should they reevaluate the numbers just to make sure that when they get to that point, they can actually go through with it and go ahead and retire and not have some kind of surprise come up and ruin the whole plan?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be 10 years out, I would have a plan. 10 years out, 5 years, 2 years, I would certainly have a plan before the day of retirement. I'd say, okay, if we switch this money now, from the stock market, get it where it can never lose any more money. We put so much in cash for what we're going to need, let's say, for 2 years
mm-hmm.
when we retire, the first 2 years. And then we roll this other and keep it rolling and bring us in interest where we're not going to get into our principal. I talk about that a lot. When you start getting into the principal, it starts depleting your money every year. It's depleting it. But if you've got enough interest coming in, you live on that interest every year. And you've got a cushion of cash. Everything's paid for. And what a lot of people forget is you always have taxes. You know, you're going to have property taxes the rest of your life. And property taxes right now are, what, about $7,000 a year?
Yeah, probably.
I know very few people that got taxes under $7,000.
Yeah.
If you've got a lake house and a house in town, you're looking at a lot of taxes. So you need to make sure you can always meet those taxes and still live, have fun, and be practical.
So somebody who has been, growing their money, they've been on some kind of a retirement plan to get ready for retirement for years, it's important to go back and reassess the numbers. I was talking to a couple people this week that had basically set it and forget it about 15, 17 years ago, and they hadn't really paid a whole lot of attention to it. It's just kind of been going along, but they never really assessed the big picture. You know, they knew what was going on day by day. They followed their money, but they didn't stop to take, you know, to kind of zoom out and look at the big picture. And when they did, they were a little bit surprised because they weren't doing quite as well as they thought. And had they gone back, reassessed the numbers on a regular basis, they wouldn't have had that surprise creep up on them.
That's right. And, you know, I had a client, and I forgot about it to just that minute, several years ago in Houston. They lived out at Missouri City, and they had a nice house. He had a real nice job. Things looked real good, looked rosy. But he had a real bad heart. And, you know, he'd had all this open heart surgery, all this, but he was still working. And he came to me and said, Faye, I want to do some investing. And he felt like, you know, he was 55, that he had forever to live. And I put him in some annuities because he wasn't going to need this for 10 to 20 years, he said. So we put him in annuities that would pay him, you know, whenever he decided to retire. And he thought he was doing real good. And his wife wanted to move up to A&M. And, you know, she worked for a brokerage house, and she said, let's move to A&M and buy a big house up there. And he talked to me about it, and I said, well, your other house isn't paid for, you know. And if it doesn't sell for enough and you've got another mortgage, you've got a double mortgage. He said, well, she really wants to do it. Let's do it. So he put his house in Houston on the market, and it sold for like $100,000 less than what he anticipated.
Oh, wow, that's an unwelcome surprise.
It was really bad because then he didn't have enough to pay off the new house they'd bought in A&M.
Uh-oh.
So, yeah, and so he calls me and he says, Faye, what can I do? I said, well, you know, I don't know. I said, you've only got what money you've got in your annuity. And he said, it's the only way I can pay that house off. He said, I've got to pay it off. He said, you know, I'm not going to be able to make the payments. So he did a really foolish thing by taking on some debt as bad as his heart was. Well, to make a long story short, in the meantime, he has a last heart attack and he passed away.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And so then he had taken the money out of his annuity to pay for this house, and his wife didn't have anything left.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, you know, it's a sad story about if you don't have your ducks in a row, you know, you can make some financial judgments that are just not sound.
Yeah.
You know. Now, if he had lived and had that salary coming in the next 15 years, he could have worked his way back out of this mess he had made.
Mm-hmm.
But the salary stopped immediately. You know, there was no more money because he had needed that to make up the loss on that other house.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no retirement for her.
Wow.
And she'll be working the rest of her life.
Oh, no.
Just from a bad judgment he made by going along with her on that second house.
Wow. See, I think sometimes also it kind of relates to, you know, people falling into what I call the gunnas. You know, I'm going to get a promotion. I'm next in line for this promotion, and that means a big, huge raise, and we're going to, you know, pay off this, or we're going to, you know, do this, or this is going to get paid off. And when people are basing their retirement on gunnas, the gunnas don't always happen because they may not happen. And then when they don't, you end up with surprises sometimes like this, and all of a sudden what you counted on to happen doesn't happen, and it can really throw a wrench into the entire plan, and it may mean that you don't get to retire, but it doesn't always just affect yourself. It affects your spouse. It affects your children. It affects your estate. It affects, you know, it affects all these other things besides just that one single person. And so I think it's important for people not to rely on the gunnas. You know, make these decisions based on retirement or for retirement based on what you know for a fact, or at least what you know is a sound fact, and not wishes and hopes and I think, those types of things. They can be very, very risky.
And yes, and it's just like on this deal. I mean, he couldn't talk his wife out of moving up to A&M and getting this big house.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I just told her, well, when we sell this one and we have cash in hand, then we can make that other decision. But let's sit right here where we are, you know, and see what this house is really going to bring. It wouldn't make any difference what it was. It was a bunch of cattle, you know. Let's see what the cattle are going to make before you know, we buy that new truck.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to use some common sense, and especially if a guy is in bad health, my gosh, I wouldn't be taking any debt on. You know, if you know something like that, your wife's in bad health or you are, you know, very conservative.
So is it fair to say that for someone who is planning retirement or thinking, at least thinking it through, and that's a good step, you have to be thinking it through. So that's at least half the battle right there. But if somebody is making decisions about retirement based on contingency plans and things that may or may not happen, should they reevaluate the situation and possibly maybe change course?
Yes, run the numbers, as I always say. The numbers don't lie. Run your numbers. See where you're at. And lots of times, it's a good numbers. You know, you come up with numbers, you say, well, I didn't know I had that much. Didn't know I had that many assets. Didn't know I had that income. So you never know till you run the numbers and make a full evaluation of what assets do I have right now today if I needed them. Or can I do something? Can I sell this house and move on up? And you don't want to wait till the last minute to know whether that works or not. And then you say, well, I want to buy a lake house. Well, can you afford the lake house? If you can, it's a great idea. But a lot of people, my clients, say, I'm going to buy a lake house when I retire. I love that idea. That means they can sell the house in Midland and then buy the lake house. Or if they have enough money, we have a lot of people who can't afford it, and they're going to say, you know, I'll just buy the lake house now. I'm not going to wait.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, different things can happen to you, and you just have to be prepared. Make sound business judgments as you go along, and then you won't get in trouble or have to, you know, steer a new course.
Yeah, play out those numbers, you know, past retirement. Because I've seen people, you know, they'll run the numbers, they'll project up into retirement date, and then they stop, and then they think, my goodness, you know, at this point, well, then it's just, you know, kind of like a free for all. No, because you still have to live beyond that. You still have expenses. You still have, you know, like you were talking about, you know, taxes, things like that, and then you may have emergencies that come up. And I think a lot of people don't count on, they don't have a contingency plan in case something happens. If they get sick, or if a family member gets sick, or, you know, something happens, you know, say a hole opens up in the ground and then their house falls in the hole, or, you know, whatever may happen, there's things that can happen that can be very, very expensive and wipe people out. And so is it important for people to have some kind of a contingency plan if an emergency does pop up?
You must have a contingency plan. I have seen people that think they have a good policy on their house. And they have something happen to the house, and they've got this huge expense, and they go, well, we weren't counting on that. You know, that's $10,000 that our insurance isn't covering. And I know a lot of people, seems like my poor son's one of them. Every time something happens to his house, the insurance company says, oh, didn't we tell you that's not covered?
Oh,
you
no.
Know? I mean, it's a pitch. Now, I personally have had a wonderful insurance company. Of course, being in the business I'm in, you know, I'm checking all this. What in the heck do you cover? You know, and on one of my houses 4 years ago, there was roots under the house, and I discovered this. The plumbing company came out, and another plumbing company came out, and needless to say, they said it's $40,000 to fix it.
Wow.
Okay, and so I gave it some thought, and I go, my gosh, they'll never cover this. And I said, now let me think about this on my policy. What all's covered and what all isn't? Well, remember, this is under your house, which means it's part of the house. So I called the insurance company, and I said, I have got roots under the house. It's going to cost $40,000 to remove them. They said, okay, let us know which contractor will be doing that, and then file the claim. They paid $40,000 to fix the tree branches under my house.
Really? They paid it?
Yes, and a lot of people don't know that's covered. Can you imagine not knowing that?
Wow, that's amazing.
So, as long as it's under the house. Now, when it gets to the edge of the house, you have to carry it from there out to the street. But in the meantime, I know people that have paid this and didn't know it was covered, and just had to scratch some money together to pay $40,000.
Oh, boy.
So that's a contingency right there. Your insurance company may have a huge deductible on your roof or, some other type. So you have to know these things are covered. And I've known people that didn't have their jewelry covered. And in order to have all your jewelry covered, you have to have a separate deal, and it lists every jewelry item and the price. And that goes with your main policy. But if you were broke into, all this jewelry stolen, if you don't have all this jewelry on this list, I think it's like $500 is all they're going to pay. So everything in life, you have to have a contingency plan.
So people really need to know, they need to have their facts together. They need to understand, what policies they have, where they are financially, what assets they have. They need to know all this before. It's like going to the doctor. You have to know the condition of the patient before you can diagnose a treatment.
And that's just like, let's say you've got a ranch, and you need to have that sign on the fence posted, no trespassing. Mm-hmm. It will protect you if some dumb person goes in there and the bull runs them over.
Yeah.
I mean, it can happen, and we know it does happen.
Yeah.
People always want to take pictures. Mm-hmm. They don't know that bull is alive. And, he may run you down. But, there's medical things that can happen to you that you didn't anticipate. Your husband could be off work, because of an illness. And so you have to have your house in order. You've got to say, we have contingency money. We've got everything lined out where if this happened, we've got the money to cover it.
Mm-hmm. So know where you stand, but plan for what you don't expect.
That's right. And then say, okay, we're not going to Vegas every year. If we're spending over, let's say, $5,000 there or $10,000, everything in life has to have a limit. Mm-hmm. You can't just say, oh, I'll worry about it tomorrow.
Ooh, dangerous.
Yeah, and everybody I know has had an accident lately. And I years ago, I sold accident insurance. And I had a guy that worked for an oil company. And he got hit in the throat. And I had written him a accident policy for $25,000 a month before he got hurt.
Really?
Yeah. And back then, people were that worked in the oil field, they didn't have any extra money. They lived from month to month. And yet this guy took out the policy with me, and it was, I'll never will forget, it was like less than $10 a month for the policy.
Oh, wow.
But it saved his life.
Yeah.
So, whatever we're going to do in life toward retirement, we need to plan it and plan it well and say, we need all the bills paid before we retire. We need this house paid off. We need to make sure our taxes are paid and that we don't have any outstanding medical bills.
Mm-hmm.
Then if you have an emergency, you say, I have an emergency fund. I know how we'll take care of it. And then a lot of people just sail through it. They say, okay, Faye, here's the money we want to invest. Here's $800,000. And, I want this many policies. And we plan for it. We don't just, throw it into a basket. We say, okay, we need to plan this person's retirement. They need $100,000 a year. They're going to retire in 2 years. But then sometimes they'll come back and say, hey, we've decided to retire in July. And I'll go, it's okay. We've got everything going the right way. We've already got the policies in place. You're in 10 policies. Everything is fine. And we've got contingency money already set aside. And this is the way we plan it. According to what they're making now, and we don't want to put them on a diet. We don't want to say you've been doing $100,000 a year in salary, we don't want to ask them to take 50. We want to plan this where they can have the same amount they're getting now, and that the interest will keep going the rest of their life. Especially, let's say if something happened and the man passed away before the wife. Lots of times the wife is not a business manager. And some of them are. Some of them are great. They're smarter than their husbands. But every once in a while there is a woman that really doesn't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
So if we plan this right, it won't be a problem.
Yeah.
And then, everything will work out.
Exactly. That's what we're talking about. It's, you know, sometimes it affects much more than just the main person. It affects, you know, your spouse or your family members or whatever. So, yeah, like you say, the key is planning. And that's what this is all about. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring. Right next to Ivy Cottage.
Now, every Saturday morning, we get into trivia, and you always bring wonderful, fun things to the table, whether it's facts or things to do or items to put on our bucket list. So what is the topic this morning?
Well, actually, it's about Memorial Day.
Ooh.
Things that you may or may not know about Memorial Day. Do you think Memorial Day started out as Memorial Day?
Based on your question, I'm going to guess no.
No. It did not. When this started originally, it was called Decoration Day.
Oh, did not know that.
And back in the 1860s, one of our generals said, you know, we need to call this Decoration Day. And we'll do it every year. And he was with the Grand Army of the Republic. And so they adopted just this Decoration Day, and it was started by women. You know, the women have done most of the things to help our military. Do you realize that?
Yeah, it's been such a great great support staff.
Yeah, and the ceremonies, they were all sponsored to start with by the Women's Relief Corps, and then the Grand Army of the Republic. And then it started out, the story is, that it really started in Waterloo, New York.
Hmm.
And there was a lot of discussion over the years whether that's the right place. But, you know, when this started out, people would go to their cemeteries, and this is back when, you know, after the Civil War, and we had all those war dead, and, you know, it was the bloodiest war that we've ever had. And they would go to their local cemeteries. They would put flowers on the graves. They would go to the parks, if you remember, and they would have a reunion. And all the family that was alive would go, and they would celebrate, you know, the memory of these soldiers. And they also, you know, used poppies back then, if you remember, to celebrate, you know, the dead. And, of course, Rochester, Wisconsin, was a big place up north. Also, Dolestown, Pennsylvania, in 1868. And everybody had parades. Everybody thinks the parade started much later, but they didn't. They were doing parades in 1868.
Really?
Yes. And I saw a picture this week of this parade in Minnesota. And they had all the old cars back then lined up to go to the parade. And I was so impressed. I go, you know, you wouldn't even think about them having that many cars. And then the U.S. National Park Service, you know, the women again in Columbus, Mississippi, were laying flowers on the graves, and they did it for the Union. They did it because of the Confederates. And these were the early days. Then the Ladies Memorial Association, they played a great role in it again. They were adapted to different southern states. And then after World War One, you know, 100,000 women were putting this on the graves. It started out as 17,000 women. But you know how women can organize. They can organize.
Yeah, I was just fixing to say, I don't know of any man who could have organized and planned and executed these types of events quite as well as women. I mean, we just women deserve all the credit when it comes to these types of events.
They really do. And so then they finally decided we're going to change this from Decoration Day to Memorial Day. And it was first used as Memorial Day in 1882. But it wasn't really used until after World War II. And then federal law in 1967 made it official, and then Congress passed the Uniform Monday Holiday Act. Now, that's when Congress decided, hey, we've got all these different holidays. Let's have them on Mondays. And they moved it from May 30th to the last Monday in May. And so that took effect in 1971, and that was by Lyndon Baines Johnson.
Really? Just 1970? It seems like it would have been much earlier than that. I didn't realize
it
was so late.
Yeah, but they didn't make it official.
Wow.
You know, they just couldn't get themselves together. In fact, it was after World War II that they declared it a federal law. But they didn't do that till 1967. And so, like you say, they were celebrating it, but it wasn't official. And then they finally said, you know, we're going to make it the last Monday in May, where the federal people could have a three-day weekend. You know that's what happened.
Wow.
yeah. And then they changed it back. They got mad and changed it back. Then in 1987, Senator Inouye, and that's I-N-O-U-Y-E, a Hawaiian, and he was a World War II veteran. He introduced a measure to return Memorial Day to its traditional date of the fourth Monday in May.
Hmm.
Yeah. And he kept introducing a resolution until his death in 2012. And I don't know if you remember this. On Memorial Day, the flag is raised to the top of the staff and then solemnly lowered to half staff, and it remains there until noon. And then it's raised to full staff for the rest of the day to show the memory of our soldiers. And then the half-staff positions, it's more than 1 million people, men and women, who gave their lives in the service of our country. And then at noon, their memory is raised by the living.
Well, I didn't realize all this, the symbolism behind it.
Oh, yeah. And they resolve at that time, when they raise it by the living, to resolve not to let their sacrifice be in vain, but to rise up in their stead and continue to fight forever for liberty and justice for all.
Wow. So many great ceremonious events.
Yes. And then we have a National Memorial Day concert, and that's on the West Lawn of the U.S. Capitol. And it's always broadcast for everybody to hear. And then everybody is supposed to observe at 3 o'clock the memory of all of our soldiers at 3 o'clock. And Congress passed that, a national moment of remembrance, and that was in 2000. Look how late they've gotten all this done.
Wow.
Yeah. It's just amazing that our country you know, wanted to honor them, that they didn't do all the legalities of it very, very late. We've had all this going on since the 1860s. And then, of course, the graves at all of our national cemeteries that we have a lot of now. And, of course, there's a service, as you know, at every national cemetery in America. And, of course, all the flags are laid out there at all the cemeteries. And, of course, I'm sure that everybody's got their flags out. They've got them ready for Monday, in addition to all the other things that will be observed, you know, this weekend.
So the ceremonies and the traditions have been going on since the 1860s. It's just they haven't been made official and really organized until recent years.
That's exactly right. And they kept calling it Decoration Day. And their Decoration Day is still held. It's now it's separate, and it's held on Sundays in spring, or you know, where you go to the grave, and you know, again, you're going to put out the flowers for everybody.
Yeah.
But it's amazing that this has been going on since the Civil War, and the first decoration that was put on a soldier's grave was in Warrenton, Virginia, in 1861. That was the first one.
Wow.
And, yeah. and it was the first Civil War soldier's grave ever to be decorated. And this was the Richmond Times wrote about it in 1906.
Really?
Yeah, and then in 1862, the women in Savannah, Georgia, decorated Confederate soldiers' graves. And then in 1863, they were doing it in Gettysburg, Pennsylvania, for all of them. And, you know, after Abraham Lincoln's assassination, they were going to decorate, and that was in 1865. So this has been going on for years and years, but it wasn't really official. They didn't put it into law that it was Memorial Day till Lyndon Johnson finally signed it in 67.
Wow. I'm glad that that these are all, you know, official, and now they're like actually in the books. But it just seems, it's surprising, I guess, that it took so long to make them official, even though they've been going on since, what, like 1861, the first Civil War?
Yeah, uh-huh. And I think another thing, remember, we didn't have television all those years. We didn't have anything but our local newspapers. And I think if the women had anything to do with it, like they did everything else, they would have went to Congress and said, you need to get this done and quit stalling.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if we had, like, Twitter back in the 1860s, probably going to have this done a long time ago.
This would have happened overnight.
Yes, but it was all...
The women would have seen to it.
All of it was organized by women, and I think that's just fantastic.
And they, you know, the women are the ones that said, we need to go out to the graves, we need to, you know, put this on the graves, we need to honor them. Instead of just in each little town, it needs to be done in every state. And finally, you know, the 50 states back then finally agreed on how to do it.
Yeah.
And then, as you know, just like our Congress, they moved the date back.
Yeah.
They were mad. They didn't like the date. And then finally, it was restored to the last Monday in May permanently.
Yeah.
And I don't think they can change it now.
Yeah, probably not. I don't know why anybody would want to.
They shouldn't. And, of course, you know, there's so many memories to be made every year because, you know, there's so many that we need to remember, you know, every year. And not let them to have died in vain, that we would forget about them.
Yeah, it's important to recognize and remember not only, you know, everything that our troops have been through since the very beginning, but also, you know, their families, because they pay just as big a price as our servicemen and women. And so,
They did. The sacrifice was so great. And again, you think about the mothers and the wives, you know, who have organized things, who make sure that nobody would forget their husbands, their sons, their brothers, and wouldn't just, you know, forget about it. So I think that's really great that the women have helped to make it what it is in remembrance. And then, of course, nowadays, these guys are so young that are coming back from wars that have survived. There's a new fund that a wife has started, and it's the Remembrance Fund. And she says her, and after she started, and I don't know if it's 3 years ago, her husband came back. He'd lost a leg. He lost half of his arm. He has three little children, and here he is disabled, and she takes care of him, a little girl, and then she got this Remembrance Fund started. These women got it started, and people like Bill O'Reilly are helping. They have raised $60 million.
Oh, wow.
To care for these soldiers, like, you know, the chairs they need, all the different things they need. They can't get it from the VA. They can't get it from our government, who's supposed to, you know, tell them when they send them off, we'll take care of you when you come home.
They've raised $60 million?
They've already raised $60 million.
That's pretty impressive.
I was impressed. I thought maybe they'd run, you know, 6 million or 6,000. You know, I'm thinking small.
Yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, that's what the wife said last night.
That is fantastic.
That they had raised that much. And she said, you know, they need to raise a lot more for all the things the veterans need. because not only do they need physical things, you know, they've got these mental disorders from, you know, the shelling and all this, and they really need, you know, the service dogs, they need the psychiatrist, and, you know, all these things to help them cope with life in the United States.
Yeah, PTSD is now starting to come to light more.
Yes, and a lot of them have that. And a lot of them don't even know for 3 or 4 years they've got it. And they say the service animals are really helping because the service dog loves them, and they feel that love, and they stay with them, you know, right there. They're not going to leave them. And I've heard several soldiers on television talk about it. And then there was a Navy SEAL decorated by President Trump yesterday for his service beyond the call of duty. He went and did a secret mission that a lot of other people would not have done, and he was decorated yesterday.
Good.
So, you know, our military is greater than any in the world.
Yeah, it's important to pay respect and truly honor the men and women who keep us free. I know people say it all the time, and I hope it doesn't go in one ear and out the other, and it's not just like background noise. I hope people really do take that message and really do take the meaning of today or Monday to heart. So happy Memorial Day, and thanks to everybody who has served. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. And we're at 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
So we're talking about retirement, and I'm going to throw out a question here that I don't think I've ever asked you before. Is it possible, and I think I know what you're going to say, but is it possible for someone to live better than they after retirement than they did before retirement, if they plan right?
Well, heavens yes, and I'll tell you why. You might not have thought about this, but when you retire, we take a lump sum, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you're getting interest on that lump sum. And you were, you know, a lot of people don't realize that. The reason you're going to live better, everything is paid off.
Yeah.
You're getting ready for retirement. Your home's paid off, your rent houses, your ranch is paid off, and cattle, whatever. So now, you know, you can just enjoy life. And hopefully, if we make you enough interest, yes, you're going to be doing much better in retirement than you did, you know, when you were working. Because remember, when you were working, you couldn't get to any of your money.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's in a 401k, and until you're 59 and a half, you can't take any money out, right? You can transfer it over, but you can't access it, as we say. So then, after you put it with us, you know, that interest is sitting there. If you need it, you can take it out and use it. Or you can say, I want $100,000 or $150,000 a year. And, you know that is free money because you don't have any debt.
Yeah.
So yes, you will do much better.
So prior to retirement, people are working. They're going to their job every day. So while you're working, work your money, do the work now, do the planning, so that after retirement, you can just sit back, relax, and basically coast through it and know that you've got plenty to live on and actually enjoy it. The key is, though, to get started. Have you got appointments available for this coming week?
Yes, we do, and I'd like to fill them all up and be really busy. And sometimes I don't say that. And sometimes I say, slow down. You know? But we are buying policies as usual. Sometimes something goes wrong with a policy, like yesterday. Those three, I turned them all down. Mm. That might slow things down a little bit. But, you know, we do our very best to buy the best policies in America and to make sure they're going to pay at the right time. And it takes a lot of work to do that.
Brilliant. But the key is to get started. So one last time, Faye, what is your phone number for people to make an appointment?
It's 877-588-3330. And remember where we are, 3105 Big Spring, right next to Ivy Cottage.
You've been listening to Your Money with Faye Bagby. Sound advice to help your money grow. Listen for Your Money with Faye Bagby every Saturday morning at 10 here on 97 Gold.
This program has been a paid presentation for American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC, and has been brought to you by American Financial and Retirement Services, LLC. The opinions expressed on the program by the host, host guest, and call-in listeners are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not represent the opinions of management of this station or Brazos Communications West, LLC, who bear no responsibility or liability for the program's content. The purpose of this radio program is intended to inform the public on financial planning issues and investment products for qualified individuals and investors. Many of the topics and opinions discussed may be of a personal nature, and some people may disagree with or find opinions expressed on this program objectionable. Before you invest, you should consult with financial advisors and review the program prospectus and its risks.